There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Live local talk. That's what we do around here. Glad you're here. Text line's open. Phone line's open for you at 343-0106. And no, we will save the Disney discussion for a whole other show as the text and emails have come in. I have heard this story, how Disney was supposed to be here since I was probably 12 or 13 years old the first time I heard it, and I've heard it year after year after year after year. And I'm going to be excited to read John's story if he's dug into the real research here about the Disney rumor. Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, candidate for AL1 in Congress, is with me. You've heard that story?
I've heard that story my entire life.
I
have no way of knowing if it's true or not. It sounds good, but I'm not aware of it.
That story's been told so many times.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And good for John. He's going to take that on, and that'll probably be one of the most click stories they have running at AL.com.
Of course it will.
You know, and I'm looking here. People are ready to argue with me about the Disney thing. We will do a whole nother show another day about that because we got lots to talk about. Thanks for coming back in.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
It's a real treat. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. And last time you were on the phone with me, you had come out of that MPO meeting.
Right.
Right. And we had an MPO meeting at Eastern Shore and in Mobile. You're at the Mobile one. When y'all left there, did you leave there with what you were going to do or something? What was the end of that meeting?
Well, the end of the meeting is obviously there's no decisions made. We were hoping to get the Eastern Shore MPO and the Mobile MPO to agree to put a letter together and try to get the project moving forwards. That's our problem, is the governor has it shut down and can keep it shut down. We have to win her favor and actually get the project moving again. The Mobile MPO, we're still trying to be diplomatic and trying to reach out to the governor. We're told by Greg Albritton that we really can't get any hard numbers till after this session, so he knows where the money's at.
Hard numbers like what the state would be able to provide?
What the state's capable of,
okay.
Mainly the bonding issue.
Okay, because that's something you've talked about a bunch is to bond this.
So, I'm running for a political office, obviously, so I'm in contact with both sides of the bay very much, and I understand their frustrations. I truly do. I mean, skipping over exit 34 in my mind is a nightmare from the investment standpoint. Mm-hmm. But I think the only thing we've agreed as far as Mobile in open conversation is we've got to find a way of getting the project put back on the TIP program. Okay. Once we get it back on that, then we can start making some alterations and some changes to it.
Because it's off that. That's a transportation infrastructure program.
Well, the governor said it's dead. She's right. It was dead as far as moving. It has not been dead as far as us continue to work on it. We've all been trying to figure out a way of and Greg Albritton certainly has been the big cheerleader in this whole program.
But that's a process, so we all understand it. So a idea has to be moved on to the transportation infrastructure program, the TIP. To move there.
The governor has to approve it before it goes on the TIP.
Okay, so you present an idea.
Right.
The governor then says yay or nay. If she says yes, it moves onto this list. That doesn't mean it's first or second or third. No. Just it moves on the list.
Okay. Then
what happens?
But at the same time, we're working for some to get some funding out of Washington too. We haven't lost sight of that. I think we'll see more funding. Maybe not this year. Maybe next year. Maybe the next 2 years. You know, we've got a 5-year construction project here. Whenever it does get started, we're going to build a bridge. I'll assure you that bridge is going to get built. Now,
In my lifetime?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We can't afford not to.
I agree. Mean, the business community
is desperate for it. We're putting all these projects together, bringing all these transportation companies in here, and the last thing they want is stuck in the Wallace Tunnel.
Mm-hmm. They're aware of that. Like when you talk to an Amazon or something like that, Walmart, they say.
Well, I'll tell you off air about my conversation with Walmart about their distribution center, but I pointed out that if they were going to go across the bay, you know, with 600 trucks a day, you know, what kind of confusion that would cause.
So that's got to resonate in Montgomery. That's got to resonate with the governor, because that's a local issue, but that's a state issue, too. I mean, that has got to be important to the governor.
Listen, our legislators, our House members and our senators work very hard in Montgomery. They are a very small group.
Mm-hmm. We're outnumbered, yes.
Yeah, we're outnumbered. And as loud as they can get, they're still the quietest in the room simply because they're outnumbered. One of the things I look forward to in winning this congressional seat is actually going and visiting with the governor and sitting down and saying, okay, governor, this is what I feel like we need to do. How can I help you from a federal level? You tell me how I can help you help them, and try to work it backwards. The governor is a little frustrated with us right now. We embarrassed her, obviously, when the MPOs did what they did. I don't think it was a bad idea. I will still say no tolls. I'll go to my grave saying no tolls. I don't understand the tolls. I think we were getting, I felt like we've been hijacked as taxpayers. So no tolls is no tolls is no tolls. So,
but it doesn't mean no bridge.
Right. We can do it without tolling. We've got to figure out how to bond it. And everybody says, well, that's easy, bond it. You only have so much available bonding. Only so much available bonding in
the
free market. Right, the state. Yeah. So we've got to get through this session and actually figure out what we can and cannot bond, the amount. Then we can start focusing on getting it paid for.
Are we looking at like the projects, we'll all focus on Birmingham and the I-59, I-20 thing. That's part of the bonding, right?
Right.
That eats up some, like,
exactly.
So the bonding amount, just simplistic, here's a pie. Okay, that's right. A total amount that the state can bond. There's different bonds that have already taken up space there.
Yeah, they can only bond out $6 million, and right now they're sitting at $6 billion, and they're sitting at $5.9 billion.
There's no room.
There's no room.
But we are paying off those bonds on the other. So eventually you are whittling it down and opening that back up, unless somebody gets in line in front of us.
Right. Right. But, you know, there's other avenues. The federal, we're looking at Go Mesa money. We're looking at a lot of opportunities. We're being told cannot be used for that project, and I don't doubt that, but it still shouldn't stop us from looking at it.
But you know how this – okay, let me say how I would – if I'm doing it, if there's something like the Go Mesa money, so the which we talk about, the Mobile and Baldwin County are the counties that take the risk – with correct. Having oil and gas, you know, coming right. through. Okay. So why couldn't we allocate Go Mesa to another portion of the budget to free up money from that portion of the budget to go into something else? You see what I'm saying? Like, put Go Mesa in a place that is okay, that frees up money for bonding.
If you allow the legislatures to go in there and rewrite what the Go Mesa money is actually for.
Is that federally dictated, or we dictate it for ourselves?
That's federal.
Okay.
And do you really want...
Now, I don't. That's what I'm saying. If you could, but if you could find something, if we're looking, and I know we look at earmarked budgets versus, but if there was somewhere that Go Mesa money could go...
Let's pick the project apart. Let's say it's just a piece of it. Let's say it's 5% of
okay.
it.
Okay.
You know, you take 5% of it. We can get covered with Go Mesa money. Not the entire project, obviously. You know, just throwing numbers. We bond out $600 million. We've got 1.25 from the federal so far. You know, that gets us roughly to about 3.5, 3.75.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get 5% from government. I mean, you just start chipping away at it. We're not going to be able to get just a single source to pay for the bridge. It won't work that way. Will not work that way. So we've got to be creative. We've all got to do our jobs. Our folks in Montgomery are doing a great job. I guarantee that's going to be on the top of their list while they're there going through this next session. Our federal folks, Bradley has done a good job. Sessions has done a good job. We can't get everything we want. You know, I got criticized for saying this the other day. Federal government's broke. You know, how are you going to get blood out of a turnip?
It's beyond broke. It's in major debt.
$22 trillion in debt. But don't worry about it. Just give us our $1 billion for our bridge. And
I'm with you on that. But here's the thing. I'm with you on that if I thought everybody else would do that. It's just I've talked about term limits in the past. If all the other states would agree to term limit themselves, I'd be in for term limiting ourselves. But they're not. Same thing. I believe it could be the ruin of our republic, the debt. The unpopular person at the dinner party that says, I think that's the biggest issue facing our nation. Everybody's like, no, it's not. It's something else. I think the debt is what leads to the unraveling of everything else of our republic. But if right now nobody else is going to pay attention to it, that if President Trump wins re-election, then the Democrats are going to have to deal. And I think one of the places they'll deal with the president is on infrastructure spending. And if everybody else is going to get some...
Well, first of all, I think we're going to take the House back. I think we're going to keep the Senate, and I think the president's going to go back in. So that gives us full control. And if we're not good stewards,
pressure's going to be on y'all then.
I totally agree. But we don't have a revenue problem. It's not the amount of money that's coming in; it's where we're spending it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so many social programs that are going right now; it's ridiculous. $1 billion for this, $1 billion for that, and $1 billion for this. You know, it's just we've got to stop spending in some areas. I'm not worried about taxing. No one's talking about raising any taxes from a federal level that I've heard.
Right.
But where we're spending it is our problem. I mean, we're borrowing money to give away to foreign countries. Let's face it.
Why don't we cut out the middleman? Let just China give Egypt money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't want to go that far. But
I mean, it is, you know. And by the way, I mean, we talk about China
Egypt,
a bunch. China's not the biggest. China's what, 5% or less of our debt that we owe to China. We owe most of it to us. We the taxpayers.
Right. Which is not a bad thing.
Now, if we just only could get a real good rate of return on that investment.
Well,
there's that. All right, coming back, more with Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl. Grab some of your text and phone calls at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Guest in studio, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl. Dave says that was asking at first, did I get Governor Ivey a get well present? Now, Dave may be working off the fact for me personally, the governor won't come on the show, doesn't take my phone calls and anything anymore. It's really been that way for more than a year. But I want to point out that she's not the first, because Governor Bentley cut off communication with me through his people in his first term. So, Dave, that's not new, but he said, butter her up, get her a present, get well present. Because you heard earlier Missy the dog, when we were talking to Todd Stacey, Missy the dog, the first dog, the governor tripped over Missy. And so I guess when she does State of the State address coming up next week, she's going to have her arm in a sling. So that's why she had a fracture in her shoulder. They said she's going to mend just fine. So there we go. Speaking of the governor, of course, takes us back to this conversation about the bridge. And this is an important piece of information you talked about that people need to know, that right now, any sort of bridge project is not on any radar.
Zero.
Okay.
As far as the governor's concerned.
Right. Because it's not, it has to be on this list, the tip.
The governor has to approve it. ALDOT has to approve it, which is the governor.
You have to present this idea.
Then it goes on the tip, and the tip is actually presented to the feds.
Okay.
That's where part of our funding will come from, because it is a federal highway.
And that's one of the nuances, too, that I had to learn through this process for federal money. And I was, you know, we're talking about federal spending and overspending and what goes on in Washington and the job that you're wanting to get elected to up there and battling that out in Washington. But you look at this and people say, well, you just get the feds, we just get Congressman Byrne, we just get Shelby. They just send the money down here to the bridge project. But I learned, that law changed, I don't know, a decade ago or something. And it can only get as far as ALDOT, right? They can't push past the state agency there.
Right.
To get
the state agencies will split that up and use it where they feel like it's best served.
So your representative or your senator cannot send, so you understand this, if you like or not, can't say, even Richard Shelby, can't say That money right there is going to the I-10 Mobile River Bridge Project. They can send it to the state and say, we really would like it to go there.
Yep. Or they could build a bridge on their own.
Right. But if they're talking about the federal money going to, it has to stop with the state agency before it gets to
Correct.
A project.
It's just like most cities, most people don't realize the money will flow through the county. I mean, there's check and balance systems that are set up in place.
And these are things I think people who don't do what you do as a county commissioner, they don't know this yeah. stuff, right? And it's worth noting. Speaking of that, too, and we'll get back to bridge and transportation, but you heard I was talking to John Sharp
right.
about the vote for the Mobile City Council coming up on Tuesday about this subsidy match funding for the train, passenger train.
Yeah. Early on, Stephen McNair, who was appointed mm-hmm. by the governor to head this program up, Stephen and I been friends for a number of years, but Stephen talked to me, and early on I gave my support to it, and the longer this drags out, the more fragile that it actually gets.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have at least three major projects that could be some game changers for Mobile that we're working on, that we're going to need to put quite a bit of resources in. There's only so much money out there.
Right.
Unlike the federal government, we do have a balanced budget.
Right.
So we've only got so much money we can spend on these type projects. He has asked us, not as a group, but as individuals, if we would support, I think it's roughly about $3 million to build this platform or train station that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at it going at Brookley.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of issues have come up since then. I've bumped into one of the lobbyists for the railroad. They're not very happy about it. They don't like tourism trains because they get paid to move freight.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things to work out here. But I think it's we probably will follow the lead of the city. Obviously, if the city says no, our money will do them no good anyway.
But if the city said yes, the county.
We will take a look at it then. Again, we've got some major projects that we're right on the edge. I hope I can finish them or get them locked down before I rotate out
right.
in November. We've only got so much money we can spend. We're almost there.
Be interested, of course, when you can, to hear about those projects.
Okay.
He's just looking at me like I'm not telling you right now, Sullivan. But on the train side, you know, this is something that. Okay, I know that the issue had been, one of the issues of having a train station somewhere there downtown
right.
would be an issue for adding more traffic in where you have freight right. trains. I mean, I was just down there trying to get into Gulf Quest yesterday and sat in two, you know, not the only one. I sat with two freight trains sitting there still just kind of idling. But even if people say, well, it's going to be an issue because if Mobile does this, it'll be an issue for freight. But that freight going westbound still is going to have to interact with, if this Amtrak service stops in Pascagoula and turns around and goes to New Orleans, they're still going to have an interaction with it between Pascagoula and New Orleans.
Correct. I mean, the big winners here are the casinos because they're pulling people out of Mobile, they're pulling people out of New Orleans. I mean, they're really the big winners here.
Well, people are going to go there whether they train it or not.
I know that, especially out of New Orleans, where you can catch a train and run over there for, you know, for 35-minute
right.
train ride or whatever it is and spend the day and, you know, have a few drinks and not worry about getting a DUI coming back. They're the ones that's going to benefit the most, and they're certainly putting the most money up, I understand. So, but Mobile, you know, we're still trying to figure out how it works in our community.
Okay. But, yeah, that's going to – so if the Mobile City Council votes affirmative – Then there's a you will discuss
you will
it at
us,
the county level.
You'll see us start looking a lot closer at it, which we're still, again, we're probably 4 or 5 months out. But yeah, again, I was early on, I was in support of it. My problem right now is time's running out with money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've got to we you know,
speaking of money.
Okay.
Okay, speaking of money.
Speaking of money.
Running for AL1, congressman for AL1.
Right.
Congress holds the purse strings. We all learned early on in classes that means you're in the business of signing off on omnibus, cromnibus, megabus, whatever spending plans in Washington. That's what I mean.
Right.
There and it's a situation where there really isn't another, at least I have seen, there's not another version up there. I mean, it's not like you can choose as a member of Congress go, okay, I'm going to choose the regular model, not the XLT model, because that's what, I mean,
right.
There's one budget put forth, and there's been a lot of votes by conservatives for what I think are big spending budgets that have come out of Washington. What do you do? You're elected. What do you do? You're faced with that. I mean, you either
vote for it and answer the people's questions, or you vote against it. And voting against it a lot of times will raise a totally different set of questions. You know, you've really got, as in any budget, you've got to sit down and figure out what is truly needed and what's not needed. Now, how much voice you're going to have, and that's the real question.
Yeah.
And that's where, that's where senior members get a lot of voice into that, and that
right.
takes time to get there. You know, Richard Shelby's the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
I mean,
he can dictate a lot.
He's full silverback, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Okay, come back and talk about more of your ideas, if elected to Congress, what you'll be doing in the body that holds the purse strings, among other things, in the House of Representatives. Our guest, Jerry Carl, in the studio. Coming right back. Phone number 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Talking with AL1 candidate, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, and talking a handful of things here. Trains, part of this. We talk planes. Talk some automobiles as well, going over bridges. A lot to talk about on this. And so to kind of reset here, we began the hour talking about the process to get some sort of bridge project going back. And you and I have talked about this at length. This is, we're both solid on the no tolls on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. I mean, I-10 going through the tunnel, right?
Period.
Okay. So no tolls there. But I will agree, and I said it last, that we need another route across. We need some expansion. We need something.
And that's where the term expressway comes from.
Yeah, the expressway would be another four lanes, right?
It will, but there'll be no on and off ramps. So it's literally an expressway. You're going to go from Virginia Street to, and I know this is an argument, but it's going to be exit 35, 36.
Malbus.
Yeah, Malbus, that it's an expressway. That's the way it's drawn up at the moment.
Okay, but you and I are riding. Let's say you and I are riding, and we're going to go to Pensacola, okay?
Yep.
We're coming, get on 65, get on 10, we're going to Pensacola. We don't need to be on 10. Like, and if somebody chooses to take that route, that's fine. If I'm going to get off somewhere else on the causeway, I'm going to take 10.
Look at truck traffic. Every truck, and the trucking industry knows this, every truck that goes through that tunnel, they add an extra $50 on freight.
You said that before. Tell folks about this.
Well, it's true. The trucking companies understand that a certain amount of their trucks are going to be tied up, not in wrecks themselves, but actually in traffic waiting for the wrecks to be cleared. So they add $50 to every truckload that they know is going through that tunnel. So I think we could, when you talk about tolls, the trucking industry itself could literally pay for a bridge with the trucking industry. Now, they're going to tell you no, but I guarantee you they would jump for joy at the idea of an expressway. We, the locals, why would we use it?
Right.
I mean, why would we use it? Maybe if there was a wreck on the Bayway.
You could choose to.
Maybe. But, I'm going to stand firm with no tolls on any bridge of any type. We're smart enough to figure out how to do it.
That's in part of the discussion that we were in earlier, bonding and the different. You said it's not going to be any one entity that pays for the whole thing.
No way.
It's just not.
It's impossible.
This text here. For you said the designation of the alternative bridge project as visionary by the Mobile MPO, does it kill the bridge proposal? He's saying that it said it's visionary.
Well, the bridge proposal as it was, the $2.3 billion is dead.
Right.
No one's going to support that big of a project, that much money, and a toll project.
And you the expressway build that tab is how much for the expressway tab?
1.1.
Okay.
And you know as well as I do, it's going to be more than that when it's completed.
That's just
prices of stuff go up. Any construction, you got to add another 10% to any construction project, or be prepared for that.
All right, talking a bit about seeing some text in here on what happens to the House of Representatives, and it's this idea that you look at the bills that come through, and we talked about this earlier, that I'm one of these people that worries about the national debt. I have a lot of people that agree with me. I have a lot of people go, they're there. You're being silly. You're being a chicken little. But you're tasked with the job. You're elected to represent AL1. And you see, I'm thinking about how this must fit. You get a, here comes a budget. There's things in that budget that are good for AL1. Okay, or whatever. Let's just say it works out that. But then there's a bunch of stuff that is spending on a whole bunch of things that don't work for AL1, and may be deemed by the people back here to be waste of money. How do you navigate that?
You've got to form relationships up there with the other members.
Okay.
You know, it just has to be done. But when you start looking at spending and problems with spending, why aren't we providing free health care for illegal immigrants? The word illegal tells you all you need to know. Now, I was spent the whole day yesterday with sheriffs. We were dealing with some issues. Their whole budget is centers around either mental health issues or drugs. Mental health issues, majority of them are coming from drugs. Majority of drugs are coming from the Mexico border. So if we can stop it at the border, if we can stop the illegal immigrants from coming across the border, I mean, we've got gangs set up here of illegal immigrants that are the distribution hub for it. So we've got to stop it at the border. Why should we provide healthcare, free healthcare insurance for those people when we don't even take care of our own veterans properly? I mean, we got a veteran healthcare system out there that is broke. And there's a lot of great people in the veteran healthcare. Don't get me wrong, but there's just so much bureaucracy there. And I can preach a whole hour on the veteran healthcare. We have got to do something. We've got a we've been at war for, 17 years, 15 years? We've got a lot of veterans. We've got a lot of people, men and women, that are coming back with issues. It's our responsibility as Americans to take care of them. It's not an if. It's a responsibility, and we've got to embrace this and start putting our money in the right places and quit spending it in places like health care for illegal immigrants.
So you're talking about reallocating. Okay, but so you're talking about reallocating what's already there. But what I mean, because the problem is the way I see the tough job in Washington, we all sit out here and we want to make a quick judgment on a vote. But if I look at bills and I go, you know, there'll be some ad come out say so-and-so voted for such-and-such. Well, in reality, they were voting because this other thing over here that was good. But you get these bills that are full of all these things, and by default, you end up voting for things that you probably don't believe in.
You know, politicians will tell you what you want to hear during election time, and then they have to go face reality. And I'm telling you, you don't want to see the sausage made. You don't want to sit in local government because without being there and being a part of it, you know, saying no shuts everything down. So you've got to figure out a way to maneuver around it, and that's where the politics come involved. That's the true word of politics. Mm-hmm. You've got to learn to maneuver around and work for the interests of the people, for what's best for the people of the nation. And giving money away to all these free programs? No, we got an unemployment rate at 3%, and we're begging people to take jobs. Why do we even have an unemployment rate?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be some...
Because they can make $11.51 an hour by sitting at home and watching TV. That's why.
Well, and there's... Yeah, but we can also say that there's a certain part of the population that can't work, right? That's a valid thing. But that's way smaller than what we're...
It's not 3%.
No, I agree with you. But as long as we do realize there's a certain portion of the population, but it is small. Now, okay, let's talk about... back here in AL1, and you look at these spending issues, because this is a tough thing. You're talking about the VA, and so you're going to have to take away, if in you're saying, you said it before, we don't have a tax problem, we have a spending problem.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm going to say that you would not be supporting any tax or increase in revenue into the federal budget.
I'm not going to back myself in that corner.
Okay, but...
That's foolish to say no,
okay.
No.
Let me ask it this way.
That's an election day promise.
Then let's just say
if we went to war and things...
Okay, fair enough.
There's always examples.
Fair enough, okay. But if you are going to have more funding for VA or something like that, you're going to have to... Or do something with it. You're going to have to take money away from something else.
But we don't have a funding problem with VA. They've been funded 100%.
So how do you fix... You say this is bureaucracy. How do you undo...
You got the average doctor there seeing 13 patients a day. The average doctor in private medicine is seeing somewhere between 40 to 60 patients a day. It's a bureaucracy. You've got to take the VA system and you've got to privatize as much as you possibly can. Turn it over to the private doctors. They would love the patient flow. They would get great care on the spot, no questions asked, but there's some things we can't turn over to the private sector. But when you talk about mental health issues, and when you talk about like Agent Orange, most doctors aren't aware of the symptoms of Agent Orange. So there's some things we can't, but we can
there's TBI stuff and all that that needs to be dealt with by specialists, right?
Yes, I mean, yes.
Okay, we're running up against the break. Can you hang on?
Of course.
All right, coming right back. More with Jerry Carl.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And remember, check out podcasts of this show and 40-plus hours a week of live local programming that come out of the studio waiting for you in podcast form. You can go get it a la carte by going to the front page of FMTalk1065.com and just clicking the podcast tab. But if you subscribe to us at iTunes or Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer, whatever podcast platform is out there, I think we're probably on. Get that subscription and get those shows delivered right there to your smartphone. All right, continue our conversation with candidate for Congress and Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl. And I talked about a whole bunch of stuff this hour. And I want to go back a little bit to the beginning of our conversation and this idea of we need a bridge and getting this put back on the tip. You're talking about going up and seeing the governor.
Yeah.
And
a newly elected congressman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be I don't think that would hurt.
It's because, yes, there is an issue right now. You said it, and a lot of us will say, well, heck, you know what, we embarrassed the governor. Well, the governor was, you know, worth embarrassing. She was playing rough, and
she's
her ALDOT director.
You got to respect the office, if nothing else. So I disagree with that.
So how do you then patch, you know, can you patch this between the area down here and the governor without saying, okay, you are right, we want tolls? Can you go and say, listen, we got to do something, but where y'all were with this toll thing was out of control. We got to do this without tolls.
Again, I think we can do that.
I felt like it, Commissioner. I didn't feel like when we were all saying, do this, we want a bridge, but we want no tolls. They're like, okay, tolls.
No, they kept saying, give us ideas, but they wouldn't listen to our ideas. I mean, we've been around and around and around and around on this. I mean, it's going in circles. But at some point, place, and time, we need the governor to work with us. We need the governor to say, okay, we'll put it back on the TIP program. Now, what it's going to take to get there today, I can't tell you, but I know it's going to require us to walk in there with our hat in our hand and be respectful. I mean, respect the office if nobody else. I don't disrespect or dislike the governor. Over this situation, obviously, we're all frustrated and angry.
Right.
But, you know, we've got to work together. I work with a lot of people I don't like, and I'm sure they'll say the same about me. But, you know, we have to work together. You know, it my way or the highway doesn't work in leadership.
You don't get a highway.
Yeah. Pardon the pun there, yeah.
Yeah, it's but I wonder, and I mean, I guess you got to try it. You got to try it. But I could play, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, I'm going to be, you know, Debbie Downer. I'm going to say, well, what makes you think the governor's going to react any differently this time?
Oh, okay. We're right where we are, where we started from. I mean, that's the art of negotiating, realizing it's okay to leave with the same thing you walked in with.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of negotiating. So I think she'll be open-minded. I think we'll deal with a little different scenario. I hope so.
Certainly pray so. Yeah. And we'll see what happens when we get into session, because there's a lot, and back to, you know, one of our conversations as well. I mean, we are facing it's not just facing it now. I remember when former Governor Bentley put the task force into effect to look at the Alabama prison issue.
Right.
Here we have news yesterday. Holman Prison moves 600 prisoners out of Holman because it's so dilapidated they can't keep that part open. You can say the timing is suspect, but I don't think you could have a conspiracy that wide without somebody there saying, I mean, either the tunnels really are flooded and they can't get to the electrical things and all that. But now we put those prisoners at all these other facilities in the state that are already overcrowded.
That the state's having to pay the counties and,
yeah.
and so on and forth. You know, we want bad people put in jail.
Right.
We want bad people kept out, but we don't want to pay for it.
That
makes sense.
That is, there's some truth.
Well,
that's our state. We all
and I'm no different than anyone else. When I don't want.
So
to
which
pay for
one
it
do
either.
You want to accept though? Which one do you accept? Letting bad people out of jail or paying for a jail? I mean, that's
well, we're going to have to. The federal government is going to require us to do things that we don't want to do if we don't
take
get
over.
Some stuff straight. When the federal government takes over, it's not a matter of do you want to do it. It's a matter of you're going to do it.
They let people out in California. They opened the doors. They said they had to reduce their prison population by X amount, and they turned people out who had not served their sentences.
And I don't want to scare people with that. We're not California, and we've got a legislative bunch. So I can speak for this area representing us that would go to would not allow that to happen.
Right.
But we've got to do something. We can't just keep looking the other way.
Yeah.
And I haven't been in too many prisons where there's, you know, remote controlled TV and jacuzzis and
right.
you know all these pictures. Those are usually federal prisons, by the way, that have real. I really
people
dread it when I go down see Sam Cochran and have to go down the jail and look at something. It's a dreadful place to be.
Yeah, I think that's good too. People have seen that picture or heard that story about they got it made. They got racquetball courts and stuff. You're seeing somebody's taking a picture of a federal prison, which we can argue about that,
right.
And put it out there. Yeah, that's not the. And I don't want them to be. I don't want them to be like that.
No.
Y'all, you gone to prison, but at the same time. If we are over a capacity and we're failing things, we got a judge's decision out there. And we have the feds who are, by the way, working for President Trump, but they're even saying, y'all can't, the rules say you can't do this.
What most people don't realize, when you've got a room that bunks four and you get overstaffed, you have to put, or you get too many prisoners, you have to put one in the floor.
Yeah.
So you got five, one sleeping in the floor in what they call a boat, which is just a glorified mattress, plastic
okay.
mattress. Someone gets up to go to the bathroom, steps on him.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
Fight.
A brawl.
Yeah.
And you got five guys fighting, not one, you got five going at it.
Yep.
So, and then where's the responsibility there?
Yeah, and then some of these facilities, we're talking about these, the kind of the bigger dorm, like where it's
dorms.
A big room and it has all those bunk beds in it, and then we have issues with corrections officers can't see what's going on in one part, can't see what's going on in another, and now when that place rises up, it's not five people,
yeah, but
it's
yeah,
50, it's
but
60.
I've always had a vision, and this is my vision. Most of these people are repeat offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Let's catch them early. We know they're not dangerous when they first come in there. It's silly stuff. It starts mm-hmm. off very simple. Let's try to teach them a trade. Let's build these prisons next to a trade school. Let's teach them how to weld. Let's teach them how to fit pipe. Let's
mm-hmm.
teach them the basics of a skill. And when they get out, help them get a job. You won't get them back.
And it's a lot cheaper than housing them.
Oh, my gosh. And,
yeah.
and over and over and over.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, people want to get more information about the campaign. Somebody wants to get a yard sign. Somebody, tell them where to go.
Go to www.jerrycarlforcongress or go to our Facebook page, Jerry Carl for Congress. And we're looking forward to March the 3rd, which is simply 33 days away.
Not that y'all are counting.
Yeah, and remember, vote for the guy with the two first names.
That's I've heard that about you. Although I just people just want to call you Jerry too.
Right? I'm just Jerry. Yeah,
okay.
I heard that in a parade all last weekend.
The
hollering in the parade, just Jerry.
That's good. That means the messaging is resonating.
Working.
So we have of course to the primary and a lot between now and then. I know you've got a travel schedule that takes you. All over. This is, I know that probably all districts say that, but with the arms that come off of AL1, there's some far from end to end. This Joker's pretty big.
I love it. I love a good campaign, though. We'll wind up tonight. We'll actually wind up in Jackson, Alabama. Last night we wound up in Brewton. Tomorrow night we'll wind up, I'm guessing, in Orange Beach. We're going to be in the south part of Baldwin County. And at the same time, you can't forget your roots, which is Mobile County. So, but I love it. I'm enjoying this campaign.
All right.
I am.
Well, you're somebody I completely believe that because
yeah.
you do. You like to get out
I
and
like
visit.
People.
I
love
I've
to
noticed.
Serve people.
I've noticed. All right. We're going to get you back soon.
Thank you.
All
Appreciate
right.
It.
Coming back tomorrow morning, just a couple heads up. One of them, and actually we talked about Go Mesa earlier, an interview coming up tomorrow at 8, and this has just been finalized. We're going to talk about the new federal policy and oversight for drilling in the Gulf. Scott, and I think it's Angel. It may be. We'll find out from him in the morning. He is with the feds. He's working for President Trump's plan here for energy acquisition for the United States, opening up new areas, making sure what we're doing is safe right now. He's in our area, going to be speaking to different people. He's going to join us on the radio show tomorrow at 8 o'clock, so tune in for that. We'll talk more about that. Paul Feinbaum show on the way. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Remember, online at fmtalk1065.com. Check us out at facebook.com/fmtalk1065. Twitter, speak to me directly at fmtalk1065 on Twitter. All right, y'all have a great one. Feinbaum next.